He's always got John Gibbons. Hello, Gibbons. Hello. You're special, but not quite as special as my favourite guest. And he does keep coming back for some reason. He must like coming up the tower.
With his alarm clock.
But he's always here, even if he's knackered. He always comes. Well, Mr. Ian Prowse.
I think last time you had the heavy one with Nasher on you.
That's right.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah, we had. I was very sedate last night, looking forward to this. And I only live around the corner as well, don't I? So,
That's because you're absolutely destroyed by being on tour at the moment.
I am a bit. We did the Shine Festival at the weekend. And apart from the fact we did a really, really good gig and we got everybody going, there was loads of Liverpool bands down there. So obviously, if you're away from home with all the other Liverpool bands, you all get stuck in together, don't you? After the gig. And a few libations were taken.
Who are these bands? Who are these
bands? Oh, well, I got back into to our dressing room after the show. And Diggsy had already opened our vodka. Tony Griffiths from the Reelys was getting stuck into our Jack Daniels. Glenn Monaghan, who was with the Farm, was opening our cans. So, but that's what happens, you know. And the people who run it, do you know these people? Yeah.
Are these the A-list bad boys, are they?
A little bit, yeah. Once you start with that. And then, of course, you know, the Happy Mondays came on. And so that's I don't really have to say anything else. And we all decamped to the VIP bit. And there was a... I did notice that the quotient of bouncers near us tripled when we sort of had our little bit of the VIP bit. And there was a lot of weary... Oh, what's going to go on over there? So, yeah.
You see, I'm quite a responsible performer. I never go out too late on a work night, you know. Don't have too much, but I would imagine musicians are quite different. Well,
that's the good thing about a festival, though, because if it's all weekend and you're on Saturday lunchtime, then you know you've just got the rest of the weekend to enjoy it and go and watch your mates play and stuff like that. So
that
you'll find the more experienced musician, if you like, will have their eye on a keen slot. At a festival. You know what I mean? No one's the headline anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It's true. It cuts into your party time if you can't if you got to wait round till the end. You know, hey, we're headlining. Don't care, mate.
I'm done if I can get drunk.
We're at it already.
I'm not sure I should be saying this, but I was backstage at Prenton Park when Madness were performing, and I was watching what Suggs and the rest of them were getting up to. Yeah. And their preparations for singing are quite unique, I have to say. There was a certain number of different coloured bottles being pulled out and necked quite rapidly. But he sings brilliantly with it.
Yeah. Well, for me personally, I can't play if I'm drunk. I have to be sober to play. Yeah. But I will, just before going on, because I still get really nervous. It's still like taking your driver's test, you know. I'll have a wee one. So you got to get one down your neck just to calm the nerves.
It's funny how nervous you get, because you must have done like 5,000 gigs or something.
Well, do you remember when we did New York?
Yeah.
And you're saying, are you okay? And I'm saying, no, I'm really nervous. And you go, you're getting nervous. How many gigs have you done?
Yeah, well, me and Ian played in New York, just the two of us. It was an amazing experience. It was on my birthday, actually. It was amazing. On St. Patrick's Day as well to launch Ian's album. And we were backstage waiting to go on. And I mean, Ian's quite a chatty fella, but he was just chatting me head off. He was asking me all about my family and all sorts. And I was like, What's up with Ian? And he was just talking just because to take his mind off kind of going on with it. And then once he was on, he turns into the rock star we see before us. But it was really funny because, I mean, you know, it was...
And why is that? Because you're out of your comfort zone or...?
I don't know. It's because it's adrenaline overload, I suppose, isn't it? And I love it so much. And I mean it so much. And I want to do my very best for the people who've bothered to come out and watch it. You know, I never, ever take it for granted that somebody will... buy a ticket, come out the house, watch it, you know, maybe get a babysitter, pay for their ale, maybe a hotel. It's the big show on December the 2nd. People are coming in from all over, you know, and they've got hotels. And I really respect that. So in turn, when I perform, it'll be 100% every single time. And but with that comes a lot of nerves,
Do you see musicians sometimes that don't totally respect that? Or, you know,
I see it all the time and I wonder...
That happens a lot, and you sort of do you feel a bit embarrassed by it? Well,
I often see bands that when they're playing, it's as if you're intruding upon their rehearsal. You know, they're kind of looking down, and it's like, we're not bothered that you're here. And I just don't get that. You know, I just don't get it at all. I'm like, I want to entertain them with, you know, there'll be joy and there'll be sad songs and there'll be a bit politics and a bit fun, rabble rousing, a bit of everything, you know. So that's my thing.
Let's get nostalgic with Ian Prowse and Pelé and 25 years.
Oh, don't.
Since your first ever album with Pelé, Fireworks. At least it's a classic. It's absolutely. When do you first remember hearing Fireworks or hearing Pelé?
Well, I had to come on to it later because I was aware.
Because you're only one. At that
No. But I got into Amsterdam around the time of, you know, Does This Train Stop and all that, and that's when I got into it. And old buddy Paul Hagen was in the band like that. And so I got into them then. And then you know, you start looking into kind of people's back catalogues and stuff and becoming aware of what kind of Ian had done before, really. But it was only since playing with Ian I've really appreciated how good a lot of that early Pelé stuff is, and especially this album, I think is probably, in my opinion, the best one that Ian's ever done. And I still listen to it. And there's a great documentary on YouTube which Joe Campbell's done, which is well worth a look. It's only about sort of 15, 20 minutes long, so it's a nice thing to throw on your dinner or whatever. But it really sums up how brilliant an album is, and how fresh it still sounds, really. Because I mean, we're gonna play something from it, but you know, it could, because it was kind of timeless at the time, it means it could kind of, if it came out now, you'd think, oh, this, who's this great new band?
Did you know it was a classic when you'd finished it? And it is, because it still stands the test of time. It still sounds relevant.
Yeah. No, not really, because it's funny because you're only young and you don't, you're kind of worried what the reviews are going to say and what people are going to think. And you're not really, you have all the bravado, but underneath it all, you kind of, you know, you're worried if you're going to be relevant or if it's going to stick. The record company are going to drop you, or you're going to get on the radio, or the NME are going to write about you. You know, it was...
You were playlisted by Radio 1,
weren't you? Well, all the singles are Fireworks, because it's kind of... Fireworks is one of those albums where it's basically 12 singles, you know, because it's your first one and you have all of your enthusiasm and all the songs you've written up to that point, you know, your best 12 songs. But back in the day, if you got a bad review in NME, Sound, Melody Maker or Record Mirror, you'd stay in the house for 2 months. It was that powerful, you know. Now it kind of, it just doesn't matter because it's all dissipated out into the internet and there's so many more reviews and stuff. But then they were just the only organs of getting new fans. So if somebody slagged you off, all the other bands would love it, especially in Liverpool, you know. You know, they'd all have a copy of it, and so walking up and down Bold Street, if you got a good review, you'd walk up and down Bold Street with the NME under your arm. If you got a bad review, you wouldn't be seen until everybody had forgotten about it.
Because you used to get a rating in there as well,
didn't
you?
That's right, yeah. You were young and unsure of yourself. And I think I felt like that until I was about 40. And then I kind of, I remember the day it dawned on me and I went, hang on, I'm still doing this for a living. And I've written Does This Train Stop Merseyside and Home and Taking on the World. Oh, I can relax and stop worrying. If some people don't like you, they don't like you, you know. So I feel all right about it now.
That's a blast from the past when you said Melody Maker then.
And
NME versus Melody Maker. Which one should you buy each week, sort of thing?
That was it.
But those reviews were so important to so many people. We all scrutinise them religiously each week.
Well, you got sold your bands in those days by the music press, really, when they were the first people to ever get onto a band. So, you know, you didn't find Oasis from any other way from the NME, really, going on about them, or the Smiths, or, you know, even earlier than that. The whole punk new wave movement really took off when the music papers got behind it, you know. So that's how you got your stuff. So they had vast amounts of power, you know what I mean? And if you were down in London and hanging around with them, you'd get your band promoted, you know. So there's a hell of a lot of really poor bands that managed to do well just by hanging around with the music journalist of the day. You know, which is annoying.
The pictures always made it as well. If you saw your NME review and it had a great picture on it, viewing concert.
Yeah, yeah.
That was always something
absolutely
a bit special.
Yeah. I remember seeing a picture of Chrissy Hynde when the Pretenders were about to break, and she looked fantastic. Mm. You know, and you just went, I want to buy their record. Even the pictures had such power, and you think they look so cool. I'm going to go out and buy the record. You know.
Right, so 25 years on, you decided to tour with the album again. Were you just being lazy and thought, well, I can't be bothered to write a new album? or did you think, I really love this, I want to do it all again?
No, we're working on a new album behind the scenes, but, you know what? I thought to myself, I want to join up. Like John just said, the people who discovered me with Amsterdam, with Does This Train Stop at Merseyside, the people who knew me from Pelé, from when I first began, and I want to join the dots with everybody. So we went out on tour doing the 25th anniversary of Fireworks, where we played the whole album, and it only lasts 40 minutes. So then we hit them with all the other stuff. And the amount of people who came to the merch stall afterwards saying, do you know what? I didn't bother after Pelé. I didn't make the mental link. And I knew that song about the train, but I didn't know it was you, you know. So the idea was to just throw it all together and make people realise that it's all one journey. Pelé is Amsterdam, is solo, is, and it's all the same thing. And it's been a success doing that, because all the shows have been packed out and people have realised that, you know, it didn't just end in 1994. A lot of it carried on. And a lot of people who liked Amsterdam, who never bothered to listen to Pelé, you know, it wasn't their thing. But now they've gone back and checked it out.
That's what happens when you change band names and what have you.
That was the thing to do back then. Yeah. And it was... In hindsight, it was the music industry forcing us, because they viewed Pelé as a spent force, because we'd had all of our achievements that happened, and they go, oh, but they don't. So you have to go back in with a new name and a new ideal, and really, it's ridiculous, because it's just the same thing, you know. But that was the way the industry was set up, and then of course the industry completely collapsed, so it doesn't matter now.
Right, you've got a massive show coming up. Have you got your trumpet shined up for this one, Gibbo?
I can't make it, unfortunately. Do you know what, I'm absolutely gutted. It's like I said to Ian before, it's the highlight of my Christmas. It's one of the highlights of the year. I love playing with this band because the musicians are so incredible, and obviously the songs are great, and when it, gigs I do, I'm not used to people singing along. I'm used to people like looking moody in the back, you know what I mean? So I'm absolutely gutted, but the Anfield Rap have got a big live show down in Brighton, and numbers in terms of people who can go down and do it.
You're in demand elsewhere?
Yes, unfortunately. Right, I'm absolutely he's very popular. But he's got a better trumpet player than me now, anyway.
So is it? It's the 2nd, isn't it, of December?
It's December the 2nd. We have Miles Hunt and Erica Knuckles from the Wonder Stuff supporting us. Miles is an old friend of mine, and obviously a songwriter I respect a hell of a lot. And I just asked him, I said, you wouldn't be very, very special guests for us. And he just went, don't think twice about it. I'd love to do it, because he absolutely loves Liverpool. And we got Nick Ellis on first.
Brilliant.
Who's fantastic as well. I really like his first album. Yeah, and I think we've done over 500 tickets already, so it's going to be a hell of a night. So, yeah, I can't wait. It's the biggest gig we've done, really, in a very, very long while. It's built right back up again, so...
Describe this. You can still get a ticket for this, can't you? Is that right?
Yeah.
The O2
yeah.
Academy main room.
Yeah.
So if you do want to join in an early Christmas party, it's definitely one of those, isn't it, Gibbo?
It's absolutely brilliant. The quality of the musicians that Ian manages to pull together is phenomenal. It's a lot of musicians enjoying themselves on stage, enjoying each other's company, enjoying kind of playing together, but bringing the crowd with them, really. And it's a real kind of celebration of togetherness, of music, of the songs that Ian's written over the years, and party from the very first chord to the last, really. You know, there's kind of some solemn bits in there as well, and Ian will always throw in a bit of politics because that's the man he is. But you know, you won't stop dancing, and it's so much fun. And there's not a person who likes music who I can imagine taking to one of Ian's gigs and not enjoying it.
At the Liverpool O2 Academy, the main room, the 2nd of December. Miles Hunt, Erica Knuckles, Nick Ellis as well, and of course the legendary 15-piece band. We're going to play a track from that Pelé album in a moment or two. Stay right there, sound of Merseyside.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
At 9:28, right, John Gibbons here. We've got Ian Prowse as well. It's sound of Merseyside. And, of course, we've been talking about Fireworks. 25th anniversary edition of the CD is out. So you can get this, can you? Yeah, from your... Where can you get this?
Get it from the local record shop. If you come online... just order it and I'll personally sign it for you, and you'll have it within 48 hours. Oh. Such is the joy of the internet.
I did that very modern thing. I actually downloaded it.
Did you?
On iTunes, which
felt
a bit
sort of... Yeah, but you don't get to look at all the photographs.
Oh, no, believe me, I didn't know you were going to bring me one. Right, so we've chosen a track off here. Okay. Did John choose it?
John chose very well. I'd have chosen that song as
well.
Would
you?
Yeah.
So which song, and why do you like it so much?
Fair blows the wind for France. And I like it because it's 2:30. And I love it when, you know, when you nail something really quickly in a classic sort of pop format. And I think we did it on this song.
Oh, very fine choice. Where does that go in the playlist? If you're coming on December the 2nd?
Do you know what? I've had sleepless nights. I really have.
Have you changed it around, have you?
Oh, it's been changed around a million times.
And then you'll ignore it on the night anyway.
I write out these really elaborate set lists and then I change it. Because you've got to read the crowd and you think, right, if all these people... If we hit them with that now, we'll take them to another level. And then I have to run around 15 people saying, we're doing this. And lose the impetus. No, not really. I think it's looking as though it's going to be about 14th in the set at the minute.
Right. Have you shifted the set round, have you, while you've been touring?
Oh, no.
The perfect formula?
No, we found the perfect formula and we stuck with it. But this gig is slightly different because it's so much bigger and, you know, we try and get everything in that people like that I've done down the years, so... Yeah, and a cover version. We always do one cover version, so I think we've hit upon a great one this year.
Brilliant stuff. Make sure you get down there. It's the O2, and it's the 2nd of December, and it's in the Academy main room, and there's still some tickets left for that one. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. The Fireworks 25th Anniversary Tour, 9:33. Let's do your headlines.
Radio City Talk News.
This morning, Merseyside Police are supporting our call for no more knives on our streets. We launched the campaign after Sam Cook's death in Liverpool and Adam Ellison's fatal stabbing in Prescott just 2 weeks later. The funeral for 21-year-old Sam takes place in Crosby today. Security is being stepped up at Liverpool's Christmas markets this year. The stalls open for business on St George's Plateau today. It follows a similar response in Manchester last week. It takes longer to sell your house in Liverpool than most other UK cities. At 112 days, it only takes longer in Belfast. Edinburgh is the fastest at just 41 days. And Liverpool are reported to be considering another move for Southampton defender Virgil van Dijk. The Reds failed in their attempts to sign him in the summer, even apologising for how they'd approached him. It's thought Jurgen Klopp may come back in for him in January, though. There's a full update online.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
9:34, right, we're going to preview, promote some bands in our area. Including, actually, I've just seen Nick's coming up. Nick Ellis.
I know, it's almost like a new.
Is this planned?
No, that is.
All right, ones to watch. Who have we got?
I think it's Assholes First, is it? The song's called Night Strange. This is from an EP called Full of Wonder. The launch for it is actually on the 22nd of November, and it's £5, and it's a district. So, really great artist. Assholes won the Sound of Merseyside Merseyvale thing last year. And yeah, done really well since. So this is Assholes with their Nights Strange.
Right, Ian can review this in a minute, like an NME style review. Wow. Have a listen. There we go. That's Assholes, Night Strange. What's your first impressions of that one, Ian?
It sounds like is it a guy on his own?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's sort of like DIY, you know. And I love the way that these days. People, you know, young men and women can make high quality music like that. We couldn't do this back in the day. You need a record company to buy you £1,000 a day studio. Now they can do it on their laptops or their phones. So yeah, fair play to him. I'd like to hear some more.
Brilliant stuff. Let's move on to our next one to watch.
Yeah, Nick Ellis. Ian's got to be nice about him because he's playing at the O2. But he's also got his own gig at St Bride's tomorrow night. This is from his brand new album, which is called Adult Fiction, and the song is called Clock Watching.
That's Nick Ellis, Clock Watching. Ian?
Yeah. Well, I heard a song from his first album called Carillion, and I just loved it. So that's why we asked him to open up the big Christmas show. And this sounds like it's following in the same footsteps. He's really found...
it's distinctive, isn't it?
Yeah, he's really found his way with this music, I think. So, yeah, more power to him.
5 stars. John, did you enjoy that? You know Nick, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we've had him in, haven't
absolutely.
We? And, yeah, that's gorgeous, that song. Absolutely gorgeous. And it's going to sound great in St Bride's Church. We've pushed a couple of gigs on St Bride's earlier. Your mate Alan played there, didn't he?
That's right,
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And yeah, it's a nice place. And that's going to sound gorgeous in there. So try and get down if you can tomorrow night. It's £10 in. But you can take your own beer, so it ends up being quite a cheap night.
Chaps, always a delight. When does the tour finish? What's the exact
date? We've got Glasgow tomorrow, then it's Norwich, Leeds, and it finishes in Liverpool.
Oh, Liverpool is the last day?
It is, yeah.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going to go straight to the Royal, get in a bed.
With Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Is he not well?
But no, he had a day. Yeah. I don't know if he went to the Royal or not, maybe.
Right. I think it's the Broken, I think.
Oh, is that where it was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After we got beat by Peterborough 5-0 the other day, I didn't feel well myself.
Oh, don't bring us on a downer. Sorry. We're Tranmere Rovers. Ian, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having me on.
With the 2nd of December, sounds absolutely fantastic, doesn't it? Gibbo, thank you.
Cheers.